The hymn is Jesus, Thy Boundless Love to Me. It's written by Paul Gerhardt, and on this day the church remembers three hymn writers, Paul Gerhardt, Philip Nicolai, and Johann Hermann. We're going to be talking about these three men and the hymns that they have left to us as a testimony of the faith handed down to them. That's one of the greatest contributions hymn writers can make to the church. They are the ongoing witness, even past death and long after death, to the faith in Jesus Christ, the faith that the church holds true and sings with all its heart, sometimes using even their hymns. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, and a regular guest here on the program. Pastor Whedon, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Joy to be with you.
I got to ask about Gerhardt first, before we get into any information about the man himself. What is it that Paul Gerhardt brings as a hymn writer uniquely to the song of the church?
Well, you know, when you think about Gerhardt and the way that he put his music together, he was one who brought an incredible personalization of the hymns. If you can talk about the beginning of the hymnody in the Reformation, it was almost always the church that was speaking through the songwriter. You can trace that with the use of the pronouns. It's, you know, a mighty fortress is our God. You know, there are some exceptions, but by and large, in that earlier era, you hear a corporate church speaking, and with Gerhardt, you get the very the believer personally speaks. Jesus, you just played it. Jesus, thy boundless love to me, no thought can reach, no tongue declare. This tenderness and loving relationship between Christ and the believer comes into really sharp focus in Gerhardt. Some people regard that as a huge strength. Other people think there's a little bit too much of it in him. I think that the hymnal is, you know, as people go through and choose the Gerhardt hymns, we try to balance the really intense emotional ones with some of his more objective pieces.
Tell us a little bit about the man himself.
The man went through hell. I mean, there is no other way to describe it. In fact, in the Lutheran Church in Lübden in Germany, they have this huge life-size painting of Paul Gerhardt, and underneath of it they have the inscription in Latin, Theologos in cribro Satanae versatus. You know, a theologian who was sifted in Satan's sieve. What this man suffered would just destroy most people. I mean, it's just hard to imagine how he would have been able to, we'd be able to endure it. He suffered persecution for his faith. He would not compromise his Lutheran convictions for the sake of getting along with an elector who wanted to sit on both sides of the fence and have the Calvinists and the Lutherans just get along and ignore their differences. He lost his job over that. He was living in poverty. He lost his wife. He lost four of his five children. I mean, a man who has suffered so greatly in life, thrown out of the church, just refusing to give up his confession, and through it all, writing these incredible hymns expressing the great tenderness and love of the believer for the Lord Jesus and all that the Lord Jesus has done and given for the believer.
Is that to account for what many have found to criticize in Gerhardt's hymnody, and sometimes a little bit in his writing, and that is, it is poignant, and perhaps out of this intense personal suffering, he can be understood to be a poignant hymn writer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, the genuineness of the emotion that is expressed, I mean, it's not trite. It's never trite. You can feel the pain that stands behind the hymns and yet the great hope and love that he has in the Lord Jesus. I'm struck by the fact that when it comes to hymns that are actually assigned in the liturgy for the Good Friday service, two of Gerhardt's hymns are featured, O Sacred Head Now Wounded and A Lamb Goes Uncomplaining Forth. I don't know of a parallel with that of any other hymn writer, that their two of their hymns play a major portion of the Lutheran liturgy for Good Friday. I mean, it's amazing.
Let's hear another hymn by Paul Gerhardt.
Thy shore now bow.
Now, Pastor Whedon, you had mentioned that Gerhard hymn just a moment ago by a slightly different title, A Lamb Alone Bears Willingly. That version is A Lamb Goes Uncomplaining Forth is the title you had mentioned. It's the same hymn, slightly different version. Comment on this one, if you would.
Yeah, this, you know, can you imagine how Gerhard, looking at the suffering in his own life, would also look to Christ in his suffering and see that he is doing all of this suffering on behalf of his church and the world, whom he loves so much, giving himself into suffering and death, and doing so without complaint, willingly, giving himself into this. You can hear how Gerhard, strengthened by that faith, would be able to take the sufferings that God has given him and offer them back to God in trust that, hey, my Savior has borne all things that I have deserved. He has set me free from condemnation and death, and I have nothing but the Father's favor. And if it is the Father's will now that I go through my life with these crosses of suffering laid on me, I am going to walk the path with my Savior, saying, all this I gladly suffer, thy will be done. You can also hear the beautiful tenderness that characterizes his love for the Lord Jesus in that hymn.
Philip Nicolai is also remembered this day by the church. Tell us a little bit about him before we hear one of his most famous hymns that he's offered to the church.
He is my all-time favorite, I've got to tell you. I mean, Philip Nicolai is incredible. In 1 6-month period of his pastorate, this man was called upon to bury 1,300 of his parishioners. Plague swept through the town, decimating his community, his parish. And as a pastor, he struggled with, how do I bring the joy and hope of Christ and of his victory over death to these people? He decided to write a book, and I'm going to read real quickly from the beginning of the book. It's not actually in English, so pardon the rough translation. But as often as I call to mind the surpassing comfort of the promise of eternal life and of our heavenly home, my heart bursts out with joy, and my soul rejoices in God my Savior. Think of it! There we believing Christians will behold with joyful eyes the Almighty King of Glory, our only Redeemer and Savior, Jesus Christ, who for us trampled down the ancient serpent. There we will gather with the holy patriarchs, prophets, and apostles. There we will see again with overflowing joy those we've loved on earth, our father, mother, brothers, sisters, husband, wife, children, and all our acquaintances who have blessedly fallen asleep in the Lord and have gone before us in the true faith. There God will wipe all tears from our eyes and transform our mourning into dancing. He will clothe us with joy so that our heart rejoices for all eternity. And this awesome joy no one can ever take from us. This is the start of the book that included the two famous hymns that he wrote. Actually wrote three, but only two of them actually sort of made it in the church's consciousness. And those were the, Wake Awake for Night is Flying, called The King of the Chorales, and O Morning Star, How Bright, How Fair, or How Lovely Shines the Morning Star, The Queen of the Chorales. These two hymns were written as the appendix to this book to sing the comfort of Christ and the resurrection into the hearts of people who literally, there was not a family for whom he wrote that book where there was not death, you know, a child, a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, someone in the family gone recently. And so he writes this ode of joy that just breaks out, praising God for the great promise of eternal life and inviting his congregation in the face of overwhelming death to sing glory and praise to God. And one more thing about those pieces, if I may, before you play it. His pieces have become known and loved and accepted across the entire spectrum of Christianity. You will find his two, he only wrote these three hymns, of which the two survive. The third one, the tune, I think is even lost. But of these two hymns, they are in every hymnal. I mean, you're going to find them sung by Roman Catholics. You will find them sung by Western Rite Orthodox. You will find them sung by, of course, by Lutherans, by Methodists, by Presbyterians. These two hymns are generally regarded as the two greatest hymns ever composed in the church. And I think it is so significant that they were written out of such immense suffering.
Let's hear that King of the Chorales, Wake Awake for Night is Flying.
Yeah.
Wake Awake for Night is Flying by Philip Nicolai. Pastor Whedon, talk about this hymn. I feel a little guilty that you have to listen to that over a telephone receiver, and I'm listening to it in headphones and stereo. A marvelous, unbelievable rendition of it as well. But talk about the content in this hymn.
This hymn, the King of the Chorus, is based upon the parable in Matthew 25 about the virgins. And, you know, that parable, actually, if you take it by itself, has a rather somber feel. But the focus of this chorale is to focus on the wise virgins and to cry, you know, the bridegroom comes, awake, your lamps with gladness take, hallelujah, with festal care yourself prepare to meet the bridegroom who is near. And then the beautiful picture of Zion, the church literally waking up as she hears the return of Christ as it begins. And we've got to give huge, huge kudos to our folks who put together the Lutheran service book, and the second stanza of that, they returned the beautiful image. Zion hears the watchman singing, and all her heart with joy is springing. She wakes, she rises from her gloom. Her Lord comes down all glorious, the strong in grace and truth victorious. Her star is risen, her light has come. Now come, thou blessed one, Lord Jesus, God's own Son. Now listen to these words. Hail, Hosanna! We enter all the wedding hall to eat the supper at thy call. A confession that the parousia, the return of Christ, is also experienced by the church every Lord's Day as she sings her Hosanna and comes to the altar to enter into the marriage hall where she receives and the Lord's Supper, the foretaste of the return of Christ. This is what's going to get her through. Nicolai was saying to his people, this is what will get you through this time of horrible death and suffering. This will get you through. Cling to Christ as he comes to you in the sacrament of the altar, and then you will be able to join with all of heaven singing the great praises of God as the Savior returns. I mean, it's a powerful, powerful hymn. And we should add one other thing. Nicolai, unlike Gerhardt and Herrmann, Nicolai wrote the music. And not the setting, but I mean, he wrote the tunes for both of these pieces. He's regarded, a lot of people regard him as the last of the great Meistersinger, the great composers who could not only produce poetry, but also produce the song to put wings to the poetry. He did both.
We're talking about hymn writers Paul Gerhardt, Philip Nicolai, and in just a moment, Johann Herrmann. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. We're coming to you live this Thursday, the 26th of October. Pastor Whedon is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. We've got one more to talk about today that the church remembers, Johann Herrmann. Tell us about him, and then we're going to listen to his hymn, Feed Your Children, God Most Holy.
Now, he kind of fits in the middle between the other two as far as his dates. So he did live through a lot of suffering involved with the 30 Years' War. It's certainly the case that he suffered the loss of everything he owned four times. His life was threatened any number of times, both from sword and from bullets. He lived a very difficult life, and he had one of the most heartbreaking moments happen when his son converted to Roman Catholicism, and that just about destroyed the man. As he'd given his life for the Lutheran Reformation, and he saw that happen. His son actually did convert back again, and then shortly died. But he was a man who also knew great suffering and produced quite a pile of hymns that we are familiar with. You know, Feed Thy Children, God Most Holy, you mentioned, but this is the man who wrote O Dearest Jesus. That's probably one of the best known of his pieces. That's because we sing it so often in Lent. O Dearest Jesus, what law hast thou broken? He's the one who wrote that. And also the if thy beloved Son, O God, that's another real, and O God, my faithful God. He wrote quite a pile of them that are very well known, but his name is not as well known as either Nicolai, because he wrote the two greatest ones, or Gerhardt, because he wrote so many. Gerhardt wrote 133, and they're all of exceptional quality. But Herrmann certainly is an honored man as well.
This is Feed Your Children, God Most Holy by Johann Herrmann. Feed Your Children, God Most Holy, by Johann Hermann. A final thought here from you, Pastor Whedon, on why the church, we remember New Testament, Old Testament, saints, fathers of the church, things like this. And some would say, why would we want to remember hymn writers like Paul Gerhardt or Philip Nicolai or Johann Hermann?
We remember these men because of the remarkable, we remember the remarkable sufferings in their lives, both the crosses, personal crosses they had to bear, and the cross that they bore, carrying the cross of Christ, the persecution for the faith, and how out of that suffering they produced a confession of the church's faith in song that so crystallizes the faith that those who have never even begun to go through what they have been through will still come to love and know and rejoice in the Lord Jesus because of their confession. The hymns of the church are simply her sung confession. And, you know, you really might say, I remember an article a few months back I saw by this Roman Catholic writer who was commenting on Lutherans and their hymns. He says, well, you know, they don't quite put them up there with the small catechism, but they're not far underneath of it in being able to pass on and form the faith. I heard your previous guest talk about the importance of forming the faith. Man, there's no way that forms the faith better than these hymns of these, especially these three preeminent great hymn writers who handed to us at the dawn of Lutheranism a confession of the gospel that has inspired and moved well beyond the bounds of Lutheranism to be embraced by, basically the whole church.
Pastor Will Whedon is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. I got to say, again, congratulations to your congregation on their 150th.
Oh, thank you very much. We were very blessed to have you come and be our speaker at our banquet.
Well, and we're very blessed to have you as a guest on the program. Have a good evening.
Thank you. You too.
When we come back from this break, we've got Soundbite of the Week. You've heard three if you've been listening. We got the fourth. We're just going to hold that as our ace. And we're going to ask you to listen to the four sound bites we've assembled from this week's audio here on Issues, Etc., and to vote for them one by one the way you vote for them. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Our Issues, Etc. program is committed to equipping the priesthood of all believers, and that includes young children. Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for October is a picture book designed to help you teach your child or grandchild the doctrine of the Trinity. It's called The Apostles' Creed. You can find out more on our website at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. The Apostles' Creed is written for children ages 5 through 9, and it costs $9.99 plus shipping and handling. The Apostles' Creed by Pastor Jim Gimbel, our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for October. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. Teach your young child or grandchild all about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit with the Apostles' Creed by Concordia Publishing House. 1-800-325-3040.
Welcome back. And here we are once again at Rally Day. We're actually finishing up the day.
That's right.
We'll be here till about 6 o'clock. This is Rally Day, the one day that we ask you to call in and become day sponsors. And to say thank you, we have gifts that we'd like to give to you. But remember, normally on Share-a-thon, we have Thursday, Friday, Saturday. This is Rally Day. It's only one day, so if you miss out, That's it.
And it's almost over.
Well,
it's
I was just over. It's the only day of the year where at the end of the day, Joni and I are in charge.
the only day.
The development director, Jeff Craigmeyer, and Joni Harwell are in charge now. We control the mics. We're in charge. You're not in charge, Pastor. I'm kidding.
I'm never in charge. See, that's what happens. That's the difference around here. The difference is you guys at least get to be in charge for a couple hours one day out of the year. I'm never in charge.
Zero.
Well, actually, we'd just as soon not be in charge. We kind of like being behind the scenes.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Well, Jeff, why don't you tell us what Rally Day is
all
about?
That's right. Yeah, we're inviting listeners today, obviously, to sign up and become day sponsors. This is one of those great opportunities, as me as a development director, to get on the air and talk to you all about joining the ranks of our donor base. And, you know, we have lots of listeners out there, and we appreciate that support prayerfully and otherwise, but we also look for your financial contributions. And so you might ask, what is a day sponsor? Well, it's just for a contribution of $40 a month or $40 a month over 12 months. That's a $480 pledge per year. You have the opportunity to choose an available day of the year, and that is your day. That is the concept of day sponsorship. KFUO then would broadcast 5 announcements that day, identifying you as a day sponsor. It could be for something special like a birthday. I know that an anniversary, my wife and I have done our anniversary a couple of years now, December 18th, and could be for...
So don't pick December 18th is what he's telling
you. Or your son's birthday in April, right?
That's right. We've had my son Mitchell involved in this in day sponsorships too. But yeah, memorializing loved ones as well, or having a chance to honor a special person or group, maybe a day sponsorship honoring your pastor at your congregation or church. And the other great thing about day sponsorship, too, is you can always we request to be remaining anonymous, too. So we are very flexible in terms of how day sponsorship works.
One of the ways that we want to thank people who become day sponsors, even at this late hour of of Rally Day today, for becoming a day sponsor, we have the Issues Etc. book and CD package. I'll start with the CDs. The best guests and topics from the history, the more recent history of Issues Etc., a CD on Islam by a former Muslim, Dr. Ergun Kaner, who's a regular guest on the program. Also, Dr. Paul Meyer, who was voted this last year our listeners' favorite Issues Etc. guest, a program there on the Da Vinci Code. The Lord's Supper by Stephen Parks. He is one of our up-and-coming, I wouldn't even call him a favorite in the making. He's one of our favorites already, and our listeners are becoming attached to him. Conversion by Dr. Carl Fekencher, who, by the way, will be talking about baptism tomorrow on the program. And then Dr. Norman Nagel, always a favorite among our listeners, talking about the Transfiguration. And on top of those 5 Best of Issues Etc. CDs, the book Handling the Word of Truth, Long Gospel in the Church Today, all for becoming a day sponsor. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727.
That's a really nice package of things where you can learn or you can share it with someone else. Maybe someone else is interested and they've never heard about Issues, etc. Or maybe you want to help lead them to know Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Well, you've got someone that you know that you say, I listen to this show, and you can never get them to listen. You give them this book, you give them these 5 CDs, and say, just listen to these in your car when you're on your way to work. And that's one of the best ways. We've had people who have become attached to Issues, et cetera, as big fans, not by listening to the radio program, but someone sent them a link to one of our archived audio programs, or they heard a CD that we sent out to one of our supporters. It happens that way.
Yeah. And the nice thing is, this is a gift you could give to someone else, use for yourself, or you could put it in your church library. This would be a great thing, resource for people in your church or congregation to be able to come into the library, use these CDs, use the book, and replace it, and someone else can use it in the future.
It's very cool.
We also have another package. That package that Todd just told us about is Package 17. That's the Issues Etc. book and CD package, and if you'd like that, call Sandy and let her know. Call us at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. And we have another package. It's package number 7. This is the certificate for the Bible study and lunch. That means that you get to sit in on the Bible study with Chuck Rathert and Pastor John Lekomsky, who's one of our regular and very favorite pastors on the Bible study. I think it's because he makes us laugh so much. No, he really teaches us very much. We know that. But you and a guest are invited to be in studio during a live broadcast of the Bible study, followed by lunch with Chuck Rathert and Pastor John Lekomsky. And we're talking about lunch at a very nice restaurant where you can go. You have the time to ask them some questions. Maybe there's something you've been thinking about that you'd like to ask them, and have the time to chit-chat with them. So if you think you're interested in that package, please call us. That's package number 7. I also have a letter here that I'd like to share. Actually, it came in the came over the internet, and it says, because of KFUO and specifically because of the teachings on the Bible study, I've become a regular visitor to our local LCMS church and have asked to join the next pastor's class. The programming on KFUO and the website represents such a commitment to excellence in teaching that I have given financially to help the effort and will continue to do so. Trust me on this. The sheep are out there and looking for the shepherd. To all of you there in St. Louis, thanks for the effort you make to get the message out. This is from Mike in Southern Indiana. This is what you help us do when you become a day sponsor. You help us get the message out.
Please call us right now, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. We've got two great packages that we've been talking about during this break, the Issues Etc. book and CD package, that's package number 17, and the certificate for sitting in on the Bible study with Chuck Rather and lunch with Chuck as well. That's package number 7. Please give us a call here. We've just got another half an hour on the air for Rally Day. Again, 505-7850. Or 1-800-730-2727.
Welcome back to the last half hour of Issues Etc. We're going to be spending this last half hour playing Soundbite of the Week with you. It has been a while since we played Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Not because we hadn't had the soundbites. Probably just because we're lazy. It's a little work to put this thing together. We actually have to think occasionally to put this one together. But this week we could hardly miss. We've got 4 sound bites from this week's audio, and we want to play them all 4 for you. When you hear them, be thinking about this. Which of these is your Issues Etc. soundbite of the week? It's not necessarily because you agree with it. You might disagree with it. Or maybe you find it entertaining. Now, the listeners with the best comments, when they call in to vote for their soundbite of the week, you can vote however you want, but the listeners with the best comments, because I'm feeling generous today, you know, we're giving away all sorts of thank yous to everybody. Because I'm feeling generous today, we're going to give away 3 Issues Etc. travel mugs. Normally, when we play soundbite of the week, we only give away 1 to the best caller with comments during soundbite of the week. Today I'm feeling generous. We'll give away 3. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You can also email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We are starting this last half hour a little bit late, so you have to email us earlier, in fact, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Here's soundbite number 1. It's Dr. Carl Fikencher on our Sunday night nationally syndicated edition of Issues Etc., talking about a conversation that he had with some Baptist PhD students on the Baptist teaching of the age of accountability.
As kind of an aside during his presentation, he said, if we believe in an age of accountability, that is, an age up to which children are not held accountable for their sins, then, frankly, why are we, as Baptists, he said, so strongly concerned about abortion? Why not just let them be aborted and they'd go right to heaven and all would be fine? And again, he was not advocating that at all. But after the class was over, I said to him privately, hey, you know, it sounded to me like I heard a little bit of a chink in that Baptist armor of age of accountability. And pretty soon there were quite a few students gathered around and joining us in the discussion, and he and my fellow doctoral students, these were all PhD students, Baptists, all of them except myself, they all said, we know the Bible does not teach an age of accountability. Most Baptists think that the Bible teaches that, but scholarly Baptists know that the Bible doesn't teach it.
Very interesting story from Dr. Carl Fikencher. It's soundbite number 1. Is it your soundbite of the week? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And we're coming to you live this Thursday, the 26th of October. Here's soundbite number 2. It came from Wesley Smith. I think this was just yesterday on the program. His reaction to the now infamous ad that was aired here in St. Louis by Michael J. Fox in favor of Claire McCaskill on the issue of embryonic stem cell research.
Well, what Michael J. Fox was doing was deceiving the voters of Missouri. Michael J. Fox was not talking about embryonic stem cell research. Of course, you notice he didn't mention the word embryonic. He just said stem cell research. What he was really talking about was human cloning. Human cloning and stem cell research are not synonyms. And Michael J. Fox, using a very emotional appeal, wants people to feel and not think. And therefore, the entire ad is deceptive. Secondly, it's very ironic that to the very day Michael J. Fox issued this deceptive ad, a study came out, and it's certainly not the first of this kind. It's one of many. In this particular case, in this experiment, they tried to help Parkinson's disease mice with embryonic stem cells, and instead the mice were getting brain tumors. So there's an awful lot of deception in Michael J. Fox's ad, and it seems to me that if he's going to use his fame and the emotionalism of his disease, he should get the facts right.
It's Thursday, October the 26th. We're playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's soundbite number two, Wesley Smith. Is it your favorite soundbite this week? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. Soundbite number three came from Pastor Bart Day, a regular guest on the program. Near the end of our conversation on the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, I asked him about what it means that Christians still sing those words, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," on Sunday morning.
Jesus himself is riding. He is now coming right here into our midst. As Isaiah fell and the coal was taken from the altar to touch his lips, to tell him that his guilt has been taken away and his sin has been atoned for, how soon in the divine liturgy we will kneel down and have not just a coal, but we will have Christ's own body and his own blood put into our mouths, poured into the doorpost of our hearts, marking us as those who've been redeemed by Christ crucified, to receive his very own flesh and blood. So it is a beautiful confession by singing those words in the divine liturgy of the crowds there in Matthew's gospel, of Jesus' triumphal entry, that we believe that he is still triumphantly entering in right among us.
That's soundbite number three. Is it your soundbite of the week? Give us a call, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And if you're going to email us, you got to email us early, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Soundbite number four, and then I want to hear from you. This is a caller to our Sunday night nationally syndicated edition of Issues Etc. During our conversation on baptism, she called in to tell her story about the comfort she received from baptism. Lori is listening in St. Louis. Lori, thank you for waiting. Welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. I called in because I'm the mother of five kids, and before each of our children was born, my husband and I dedicated them back to the Lord, realizing that they were a gift from him. And as part of that commitment and rededication of our kids, we had each of them baptized when they were mere babies. Our first children was a set of premature twins, and we drove 100 miles to have my dad baptize them at home. He's my pastor. And we had them baptized on a Sunday afternoon, and 36 hours later, the older twin died in the middle of the night of SIDS. Mm-hmm. And because we had given them back to the Lord and we realized they were his, we had the comfort, even though we were in terrible pain, we knew that our daughter's in heaven.
That's soundbite number four, a caller to our Sunday night nationally syndicated edition of Issues Etc. Is it your soundbite of the week? You've got all four now? And we want to hear from you, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Which is your soundbite of the week? Number one, Dr. Carl Fikencher, on his conversation with some Baptist PhD students on whether or not Baptists really can find a biblical basis for the so-called age of accountability. Is it soundbite number two, Wesley Smith reacting to the Michael J. Fox ad about embryonic stem cell research? Is it soundbite number three, why Christians continue to sing "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord" on Sunday morning? Pastor Bart Day gives us that soundbite. Or is it soundbite number four, the caller to our Sunday night program talking about her story and the comfort she derives from baptism? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Listeners with the best comments, the best reasons for their votes for their soundbite of the week, we'll get an Issues Etc. travel mug. I'm feeling generous. I'll give away three during soundbite of the week. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's start with Steve, who calls from his car. Steve, which is your soundbite of the week and why?
I'm going to go with number one. Growing up Southern Baptist, you know, this is one of those, I guess they don't have doctrines, but illicit doctrines, but this is on the top of their list. What I find interesting, if they gone on a little bit further, is what gets Baptists into conundrum is they don't believe in the regenerative power of baptism, and they believe that one has to make a decision for Christ. When you put those three things together, they have to back into the age of accountability as the only way to solve this. Answer the question, well, what happens to an infant or a child if they die before they come to faith?
I think you've outlined kind of the, reverse engineering of a doctrine that doesn't exist in Scripture in that Baptist theology. Thank you very much, Steve. He's voting for soundbite number one, Dr. Carl Fikencher, relating his conversation with some PhD students at, I think it was Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, during his doctoral studies on finally admitting to him, we don't have a biblical basis for the age of accountability. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Nancy's calling from her car. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Oh, number four, it hit my heart, and it's just beautiful because that's why we took our children to give back to the Lord, because they're His to begin with, and it's a blessing and reassurance that our children are His from the beginning, and He's the Holy Spirit is working in their hearts right away.
Nancy, thank you very much. See, so it's her sound bite of the week because she understands exactly why the caller who called us on Sunday night had her children baptized and the comfort that she receives, even though one of her children tragically died mere hours after that baptism. So she votes for sound bite number four. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email us here in the studio. I got some emails to get to in just a moment. issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. We're playing Soundbite of the Week. We've got one vote for number one, Dr. Carl Fikencher. One vote for number four, our caller to that program where we were talking to Dr. Fikencher. I almost want to include Dr. Fikencher's response to the caller, but there just wasn't enough time to do it. Here's a email comes from Tom in San Angelo, Texas, down in my neck of the woods. He writes, as one who lives in Southern Baptist land, I thought the conversation with Dr. Fikencher was very meaningful to me. The accountability question is something that we Lutherans constantly run into here in West Texas. Baptists have a hard time confessing that a man does nothing to merit salvation. The age of accountability puts man into the mix and damages the saved by grace through faith alone. Put down my vote for soundbite number one. So that's two votes for soundbite number one. Thank you very much, Tom, for listening down there in San Angelo. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email us as we play soundbite of the week. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's run through them again in quick fashion. Here's soundbite number one.
As kind of an aside during his presentation, he said, if we believe in an age of accountability, that is, an age up to which children are not held accountable for their sins, then, frankly, why are we, as Baptists, he said, so strongly concerned about abortion? Why not just let them be aborted and they'd go right to heaven and all would be fine? And again, he was not advocating that at all. But after the class was over, I said to him privately, hey, you know, it sounded to me like I heard a little bit of a chink in that Baptist armor of age of accountability. And pretty soon there were quite a few students gathered around and joining us in the discussion. And he and my fellow doctoral students, these were all PhD students, Baptists, all of them except myself, they all said, we know the Bible does not teach an age of accountability. Most Baptists think that the Bible teaches that, but scholarly Baptists know that the Bible doesn't teach it.
All right, that's soundbite number one. It's got two votes so far as we play soundbite of the week. Here's soundbite number two. It's Wesley Smith. His thoughts on the Michael J. Fox ad that everybody's talking about.
Well, what Michael J. Fox was doing was deceiving the voters of Missouri. Michael J. Fox was not talking about embryonic stem cell research. Of course, you notice he didn't mention the word embryonic. He just said stem cell research. What he was really talking about was human cloning. Human cloning and stem cell research are not synonyms. And Michael J. Fox, using a very emotional appeal, wants people to feel and not think. And therefore, the entire ad is deceptive. Secondly, it's very ironic that to the very day Michael J. Fox issued this deceptive ad, a study came out, and it's certainly not the first of this kind. It's one of many. In this particular case, in this experiment, they tried to help Parkinson's disease mice with embryonic stem cells, and instead the mice were getting brain tumors. So there's an awful lot of deception in Michael J. Fox's ad, and it seems to me that if he's going to use his fame and the emotionalism of his disease, he should get the facts right.
That's soundbite number two, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's hear soundbite number three. It's Pastor Bart Day on why Christians continue to sing Hosanna.
Jesus himself is riding. He is now coming right here into our midst. As Isaiah fell and the coal was taken from the altar to touch his lips, to tell him that his guilt has been taken away and his sin has been atoned for, how soon in the divine liturgy we will kneel down and have not just the coal, but we will have Christ's own body and his own blood put into our mouths, poured into the doorpost of our hearts, marking us as those who've been redeemed by Christ crucified to receive his very own flesh and blood. So it is a beautiful confession by singing those words in the divine liturgy of the crowds there in Matthew's gospel, of Jesus' triumphal entry, that we believe that he is still triumphantly entering in right among us.
And that's soundbite number three. Real quickly, soundbite number four. It's a caller to our Sunday night program on the comfort of baptism. Lori is listening in St. Louis. Lori, thank you for waiting. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. I called in because I'm the mother of five kids, and before each of our children was born, my husband and I dedicated them back to the Lord, realizing that they were a gift from him. And as part of that commitment, and rededication of our kids, we had each of them baptized when they were mere babies. Our first children was a set of premature twins, and we drove 100 miles to have my dad baptize them at home. He's my pastor. And we had them baptized on a Sunday afternoon, and 36 hours later, the older twin died in the middle of the night of SIDS. Mm-hmm. And because we had given them back to the Lord and we realized they were his, we had the comfort, even though we were in terrible pain, we knew that our daughter's in heaven.
That soundbite number four, is it your soundbite of the week? There's plenty of time to vote. We got two votes for soundbite number one, Dr. Carl Fikencher, and one vote for soundbite number four, the caller to our Sunday night program that you just heard. And it's still time, plenty of time for you to vote, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or via the email. And I'm giving away three travel mugs to the callers with the best comments. Issues ETC at KFUO.org. Diane calls from St. Louis. Hi, Diane. Which one is your soundbite of the week?
Hi, Todd. I'll have to vote for number four. They're all, you know, good distinctions and truths, but number one and two, you could hear them and believe them and still have your salvation. And number three, you probably wouldn't understand as much if you weren't baptized. So that's why I'm voting for number four.
That's a good point, Diane. Thank you very much. Thank you for voting, too. Kia writes this from Birmingham, Alabama. My vote is for number four. So, boom, that gives it three votes. But it's so hard, says Kia, because number one and number four are so closely related. I've had a hard time understanding as a Presbyterian why they baptize children and then act as if it's not efficacious. So I will say, you Lutherans really have got it right. Only with the right understanding of a child being fallen in Adam can you really understand the hope that we find in Christ. That's Kia's comment. I'll say right off the bat, I'm going to send Kia a travel mug because it's hard for a Presbyterian to tell a Lutheran that they've got it right. Of course they do, but it's hard to say that. Kia, thank you very much for listening. And I'm going to send her a travel mug right off the bat. That means there are two more to give away. We've got two votes for number one and three votes for number four. So far, number four is winning. And anybody else there want to vote in the last few waning moments? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Tomorrow on the program, if you like what you heard from the first and the fourth sound bites here, you're going to love to listen to the entire conversation with Dr. Carl Fikencher tomorrow on baptism. We spend a lot of time talking about infant baptism with our listeners in that two-hour conversation. Also tomorrow on the program, myths about Martin Luther, the 16th century reformer. Dr. Ken Sherb will be our guest tomorrow. Okay, I said Kia gets a travel mug. Nancy gets one, too. And I think I'm going to give one to Tom as well. So give us a call back or email us, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. Give us all your information, and we will send you out those Issues Etc. travel mugs. And thanks for playing Soundbite of the Week. Before we go, Joni, how many day sponsors do we have currently?
27.
27 day sponsors. Mm-hmm. And our goal is 35? Is that
no,
correct?
We had hoped for at least 30. Okay. So three more if you want to call in. But we'll take 35 too.
All right, let's see if we can get three more. You can call Joni. I think you're going to be hearing from Joni and Jeff over there in just a moment. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Stay tuned during the break because they're going to be asking you to join that elite rank of supporters of AM850 KFUO. Called our day sponsors, and they'll tell you all about it on the other side of the break. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Then Tom Baker will end off our broadcast day here at AM850 KFUO. We're looking for your day sponsorship. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. You know, pictures can often help teach complex biblical truths. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for October is a picture book for young children. It's titled The Apostles' Creed, and it's published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. That's 1-800-325-3040. Or you can read a detailed description of The Apostles' Creed on our website, issuesetc.org. The cost is $9.99 plus shipping and handling. Our October book of the month, The Apostles' Creed.
Do you want more of God's grace? Village Lutheran Church in Ladue is a Bible-believing church faithful to the Scriptures, a place for the whole family, a community that cares with a vibrant, historic Christian liturgy. Village Lutheran Church is located at 9237 Clayton Road in Ladue. www.villagelutheranchurch.org. Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, 314-993-1834.